The Truth of the Matter. Answering questions people are asking with biblical truth. The Truth of the Matter is brought to you by Vision Media, an outreach ministry of Southside Baptist Church in Lakeland, Georgia.
We're going to focus this morning on the fourth piece of the armor. There's four pieces of armor that are three pieces that precede the one we're going to look at. But let's look at Ephesians 6, 14 through 16. Here's what Paul says. He says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth." That's the first piece of armor, is truth. So if you want to be dressed for the battle, for the spiritual battle that's awaiting you, there has to be truth in your life. You have to constantly ingest, take in truth. He says, number two, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Number four, and this one begins with above all. Some translations use the word finally. What it does seem, no matter what you read, it does seem that Paul is zeroing in on this piece of the armor. And notice what he says about this. When he says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So he says this. He says, if you will take up the shield of faith, then he says you'll be able to fight off all of the fiery darts that the enemy is constantly shooting your way. Now you might say, right now you might be asking the question, Brother Austin, what are fiery darts? We're going to look at that. It's going to be the last point we get to this morning. But here's what I can tell you. Even in this worship service, there are darts being fired. I can tell you, tomorrow morning, you get out there on that job and everything starts swirling tomorrow morning, the darts are going to be flying. And this is what Paul is trying to say to you. Paul is saying, I am writing this to you so that you do not have to walk out into a real spiritual world defenseless. You don't have to walk out there and be totally susceptible to all of the fiery darts that are being aimed at your mind. Paul's saying this, I'm giving you this. And he's saying, if you'll take up this shield of faith, then you will not be open game to all of the fiery darts that the enemy wants to shoot your way. Now, with all that being said, let's go to the points here quickly. Number one. One thing that we know Paul is doing in this passage of Scripture is Paul is trying to help us know our real enemy. He wants for you to know the enemy. Part of the struggle with teaching this, and I think in America sometimes it's even harder. Part of the struggle is that we are so physically, materially oriented that we don't think about the fact that there is a real spiritual world out there. There's a domain out there of the devil and the demons where they rule. They literally rule. And that they're doing everything that they can do to take out people who are believers. They're targets, believers. Here's the way I like to say it. If you're in here and you're a Christian, you go back to a day you got saved, that you truly trusted Christ. When I was young, when I was a teenager, I remember that I believed with all my heart. That's the day that I came and I surrendered my life to Jesus. Now, there was a lot that had to take place after that to get me on a growth pattern. But I do believe that day God saved my soul. I believe this is how it works. On that day, your name gets put on the bulletin board, the enemy's bulletin board, and that you become a target then of the enemy, because the last thing he wants for you to do is to progress and to grow in the faith. So let's look at a couple of things about what we know about the enemy. Number one is his mission. What is his mission? Look at John 10 through 13. It says this. Jesus is talking here. He says this. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That cannot get any clearer. So apparently, Jesus believed in the devil. Jesus believed that there was a devil, and he said this, and he said, here's his mission. His mission is to come into your life, into my life, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, Jesus contrasts that. Look what he says after that. He says, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus contrasts what God wants for you, what Jesus wants for you, and what the enemy wants for you, but he makes no bones about it. The mission of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy, to take away from believers. Now, if you will, look at the second one real quickly. We see not only his mission, but also his method. This is where it starts to get real interesting. In John chapter 8, verses 44 and 45, this is again Jesus talking. And Jesus is telling his disciples, he's telling the people who are there listening to him, he says these to them. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. So he's obviously talking to people, he's talking to Jews here who did not believe in him. And he says this, he says, you're of your father the devil, he desires you. Then he says, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Now look at this next part. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what is his weapon? His weapon has always been, to inject lies into the minds of people. He wants for you to believe a lie. Because here's what the enemy knows. This is so important. He knows that whether it's truth or not is somewhat irrelevant. If you believe a lie is the truth, then it's going to affect your life as if it were the truth. So this is the reason why he goes to great lengths to cause you and to cause me to believe a lie. Look at the next one, if you will, real quickly. We see the bottom of that, this passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul said this, he says, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. The word craftiness means cunning, divisive, schemy. He says, just like he deceived Eve, so your minds may be corrupted. Now he injects something here that is so important for this church this morning. See the word minds? This is where the devil aims the fiery darts. This is where he aims the lie. He aims them straight at your mind, because here's what he knows. If I can get them to believe a lie, that's going to affect every part of their life. So the fiery darts that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6 are the lies that the enemy has aimed at your life. See, here's what I can tell you this morning. Not because I don't know anything specific. I stand before you and tell you that. But there's people in here who believe a lie about somebody sitting in this church with you. The devil's convinced you of a lie about somebody sitting here. And you believe it. So consequently, that's how you see that person. You see that person through the lens of how the devil's made you think about them. The enemy comes in and convinces us of all kinds of truths. I remember our lies. I remember a couple of years ago, I was battling. I mean, I was fighting. It felt like I was fighting hell by the acre. And some of you have been there. I know one particular person's been there this week. And it was an onslaught. It was something I hadn't experienced in a long time. And I remember I finally went out to the church in Homerville, went to my office, shut all the doors. It was during Christmas time. Nobody was out there. And I just did what I've done on numerous occasions. The battle was raging so much, and I was so helpless. And it seemed like the more I tried to fight, it seemed like the harder it got. So I went out to my office, and I opened up the Word, and I just began reading. And as God always says he does, you know, the Spirit of God will direct you to the truth. And so I opened up in the Old Testament. I read about a passage of Scripture about where God was confronting a prophet who was preaching lies. And in that passage of Scripture said this. It says that you have prophesied and you have caused my people to believe lies. And when I read that, it was like the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, Austin, you have allowed the enemy to convince you that something is true that is not true. And as a result of you believing that that is true, it's affecting your life. And as more importantly, it's affecting the people who are closest to you. It's wreaking havoc in your life. And this is what I think about many times when I come and I preach to people and I teach the Word to people. I wonder how many people out here this morning are literally believing a lie to be the truth. That the enemy has come in and the enemy has convinced you with one of those fiery darts. He has convinced you of something that is not true. See, look if you will below there in that little saying I put there. As a subtle opportunist, Satan likes to slide his lies in precise moments. Here's what that means. Don't miss this statement. The devil is not random. He doesn't do random.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Truth of the Matter today. I want to remind you that you can pay us a visit on the web at thetruthofthematter.com or southsidelakeland.org. If you go there, you can find our messages, and we also love to hear from you, so you can contact us. We also want to invite you out to our churches. Cornerstone begins at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning. Southside begins at 10:45 a.m. in Lakeland. And we also have wonderful Wednesday nights for children, youth, as well as adults at both churches. So we would love to have you come out. At Southside in Lakeland, we also have a preschool, Bright Beginnings. And so if you're interested in that, go to the website. You can contact us from there. Again, that is southsidelakeland.org. Thank you again for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the rest of this message.
In other words, he's not just out here doing random. The scripture teaches that the devil is an opportunist. What is an opportunist? An opportunist is someone who always looks at situations and tries to find the perfect opportune time in order to get his way, to get what he wants. The scripture teaches that the devil's an opportunist. You say, Brother Austin, how does this work? You slow down and tell me how this works. Here's how it works. Let's just say something happens in your life that is tragic. And we all have had it. We've all had tragedies happen. Maybe you lost a loved one. You lost a child. Maybe your parents got divorced at very formative an age in your life, and it was traumatic to you. Something happened that was traumatic. The enemy looks for those opportunities to come in and to slide his lie into your mind. So in other words, something bad happens in your life, something you didn't plan for, something you didn't ever think would happen. In that moment, the enemy comes in and slides the lie, and you can't trust God. See, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. And in these traumatic moments of our life, as an opportunist, the enemy comes in and he sells a lie to us. Look how it happens here in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. It says, when the devil had ended every temptation to Jesus, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. You see that? It says that he left Jesus. And you say, well, how does this fit into this message, Brother Austin? Think about this. Jesus had fasted for 40 days. If you've ever fasted for 3 days, you know how hungry you get. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and not eaten for 40 days. The devil comes to him with a piece of bread. It's an opportunity. He says, listen, he's fasted for 40 days, so where would he be most susceptible? This is what he does with us. He looks for these little moments to come in and to slide his lie in so that we believe the lie. And so the enemy, this is what we know the word wants us to know. The Lord wants for us to know our enemy. Number two, you see this on the screen. No faith, no shield. No shield, no defense. Now this is more important than I can make it this morning. Here's what Paul says. When Paul says the shield of faith, what Paul is saying is this. Paul is saying that your spiritual shield in this life from the enemy, your spiritual shield is faith. So if you're in here right now and you don't have faith, you don't have faith in the Lord, then you are shieldless. You don't have a shield. Think about the movie Gladiator. For just a moment. Y'all remember the movie Gladiator? When they would, if you saw it, how they would light the spears at the very beginning of the movie, I think, and they would shoot those flaming missiles across there. Well, that's how warfare was done back then. They realized that we can utilize fire in order to win the battle. Well, the Romans came up with a brilliant idea. They said this. They said they might can utilize fire, but they formed a shield that was made out of wood, and it was skirted in metal. And then they put a leather, like a blanket, over that shield. And it was about 3 feet wide, 4 feet tall. And when they would get into war, they would soak that leather in water. And then they would place the leather over it so that they could quench the darts of the enemy. And they would hide behind this shield. This is exactly what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, listen, the spiritual shield that you need to deal with the enemy that's after you, that wants to knock you down, the spiritual shield is faith. So here's how this works. You remember the passage of scripture in the book of Nehemiah that says that the joy of the Lord is your strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so if you have joy, you have strength. So a lot of people think this. A lot of people think that the devil's after my strength. No, the devil's after your joy. Because if he gets your joy, he's got your strength. That's why you should never give your joy to anybody. You shouldn't give people power over your joy. If you give people power over your joy, all they have to do is say something about you, and you give your joy to them. And so many of us give our joy away way too easily. And when you give your joy away, the joy of the Lord's your strength. Then your strength is diminished. In the same way, it's true about this. When you give your faith away, when you don't trust God, when you don't believe God, what happens is you are shieldless. It takes faith. You know, even the church. I mean, remember the 12 spies? You had the 10 spies who didn't believe God and the two who did. I believe what God was telling us is, listen, it no matter if it's a church, there's always going to be those people out there who are going to say things like, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. I'll see it when I believe it. You know what the kingdom says, don't you? You'll see it when you believe it. The world says, I'll believe it when I see it. The kingdom says, I will see it when I believe it. So the enemy's after your faith. But I have news for you this morning. If you're a Christian, let me show you how important your faith is real quickly. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. We'll just read the first part of it. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So let me break this to you. If you don't have faith, you're not even a Christian. You can't even be saved. You remember what happened with Thomas happened to live in a time when this could happen. But Thomas, in essence, said, I won't believe unless I can put my hand in the hole. And so Jesus comes in, and he says, Thomas, here I am. So he puts his finger in his hands. And then Jesus said something interesting to Thomas. He said, Thomas, you have believed because you saw. Remember what he said after that? He said, blessed are those who believe and do not see. Jesus said, you happen to be here on earth when you could do this. But there's going to be people who are going to come for thousands of years who are not going to have the opportunity to put their physical finger in the holes in my hands. But he said, blessed are those who still believe. And you know what I'm looking at this morning? I know I am. I'm looking at a lot of people who have faith, who have placed their faith in the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world, died on the cross as one man for the sins of the whole world. You say, I don't believe that. You have that option. But I can tell you this, if you don't believe it, you're not saved. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many times you come through the doors of this church. If you don't believe in Christ, biblically, you are not saved. Amen. So you get saved by faith. But number two, not only saved by faith, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, for we walk by faith. Now this is where it really gets into the church. Because he says this, he says, not only did you get saved and raised from the dead by faith, he said, now as you begin to walk in this Christian life, he said, this Christian life is a walk of faith. We don't walk by sight. You know, we've all been in enough church meetings where people, you know, you always have people who will say this, well, we just can't do that. I just can't see that. And people who won't go, who will only go as far as they can see. Only go as far as they can see. And we're going to talk about this in just a few moments. But some of you remember this. When we first came out to this location, I asked him this week, because I don't ever want to say something that's exaggerated. But we ran roughly 150 people in church on Sunday morning when we moved out here. You talk about a step of faith. This location, I don't think people can imagine what that little group of people who made a decision and said that we were going to come out and purchase this property and build a building, and we were going to kind of come out here and start fresh. I mean, it took incredible faith. The numbers just did not add up. And what you have with many people, and they sit in church meetings, if 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 every time and we're not going, well, here's what I'll say to you. In many cases, you're not going. Because what God calls us to do is, I didn't say walk by stupidity. Sometimes you can be foolish. It's not faith, it's foolishness. But there's an area in there where you believe what God has said. You get the heart of God on something, and then you say, I'm not going to consult with man any longer, and we're going to do what God has called us to do. We're going to trust God to do what he said he'll do. And this is how you walk. So you get saved by faith, and you walk by faith. But look, if you will, real quickly at 1 John 5, verse number 4. He says this in two different translations. He says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Look at that in the NLT. It says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. So here's the point. You say, give me the point, brother. Here's the point. The enemy is after your faith. He doesn't want this church, he doesn't want you individually to believe that you can trust God. See, look at this passage in Romans 10:17. Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? He says, faith comes by hearing, and the way that you hear spiritually is you hear by God's word.
Thank you so much for joining us today for The Truth of the Matter. Hope you enjoyed the message. Please pay us a visit on the web at thetruthofthematter.com.